Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. And welcome to all of you in the back room as well. Happy Sabbath to you. It is wonderful to be here with all of you. I very much appreciated the invitation to come up and for my family to be able to spend this wonderful weekend with you and all of your families and with the teens and your adults here. It's great to see the teens participating in services. Youth Sabbaths are actually my favorite type of Sabbath. I love seeing the youth become engaged and working, being able to serve us and song leading and speaking and special music and such. This is your church too, and so we like it when you can step up and be able to participate in these worship services to our great God. So we're very happy to be here and hope that you're having a wonderful Sabbath day. In a world of freedom of choice, some choices lead to bad results. Freedom of choice is one of the biggest flags that's waved here in this country. We have choice of life versus abortion. We have choice of religion or atheism. There's choice of scandals, or there's the choice of being honest. There's the choice of live-in relationships, or going through the proper dating steps and finding someone and actually marrying them. Bruce Willis, a famous movie actor, back in July 1998, he gave an interview, and he made the following statement regarding choice. Quote, "Organized religions in general, in my opinion, are dying forms. They were all very important when we didn't know why the sun moved, why weather changed, why hurricanes occurred, or volcanoes happened. Modern religion is the entrail of modern mythology. But there are people who interpret the Bible literally. Literally. I choose not to believe that's the way. And that's what makes America cruel, you know?" End quote. Much of America seems to think that freedom of choice is equal to freedom of consequences, or that freedom of choice is free from God's way of life. And how sad that reality is. This is the country, though, that we live in. We each make thousands of choices each day. Some of them are small choices, like who we talk to, maybe phone calls that we answer, the speed that we drive, what we wear, whether we part our hair on one side or the other, you know, that sort of thing. Other choices are larger. The quality of our work, the amount of time that we put into our schooling and other educational ventures, the effort of our relationships, how we treat one another. Those choices are much larger. But actions from our choices yield consequences. Go with me, if you will, over to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, here Paul writes for us. He says, verse 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Society, and especially America in general right now, is so wrapped up and so giddy in the fact that they can make whatever choice they want. Great is America because of our freedom of choice. But they also like to kind of negate and kind of put to the side the actual consequence that may be associated with that choice. Consequences can be either good or bad. There's a possibility of good consequences as well. But we have the choice of what we plant. When I go and have dessert, it makes me feel good. And so initially, maybe it's a good choice. If I eat too much of it, then it could turn into a bad choice. Choices, though, can be good or bad, or they can have rather good or bad consequences. The Hebrew prophet Hosea looked at the sad spiritual condition of the kingdom of Israel. Idolatry and violence and immorality, they were all commonplace back then and much of what we see today. But back in the kingdom of Israel, those were some of the things that he saw. Within a few years, the mighty Assyrian Empire then would sweep in from the east and lay the kingdom waste, slaughtering thousands of its inhabitants and putting much of Israel into slavery. God revealed to Hosea, though, what was coming and why. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, It's recorded, they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Later in chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies. Consequences are built in to choices that we make. It was inevitable that the people's sins would catch up with them. And it really did in a very huge way. Our world rejects this concept, though, of cause and effect. The society that we live in, that we go to school in, that we go out to restaurants in, and such, they reject that concept of cause and effect, of choice and consequence. I'll make the choice that I want for whatever reasons, and I'll let somebody else deal with the consequence. You want sex? Have it now. Don't wait for marriage. No need for that. Take what you want now. You want something? No need to save for it. Just whip out your credit card or do something, but try your best to acquire it. Make it happen. You want a particular girl or a guy? No worries. Position yourself, hurt others, do whatever is necessary, but get whoever you want. They say dating is not a means to find what kind of person it is that you want to marry. That's really what dating is. But society says you don't need to date for that reason. Date in order to score, to revel in the emotions that come from this ramped up relationship. What about finances? We know that credit card debt is at an all-time high. Unfortunately, many credit card companies even position themselves at university campuses to try to encourage the young incoming freshman class to sign up for credit cards. How are they going to pay for it? It doesn't matter. Somebody else will figure it out. Even within our food and dietary system, you can eat what you want. Just go to the gym later and work it off. Let's go with me, if you will, over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, here's the story of the rich young ruler. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, this young individual comes and engages Jesus in this conversation. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, he says, now behold, one came and said to him, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I can have eternal life? Seems like a noble question, right? What is it that I need to do so that I can live forever, to have eternal life? Jesus said to him, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Verse 18, which ones? And Jesus kind of summarizing here, naming a few off, he says, well, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I've kept from my youth. What more do I still need to do? He's essentially saying, it's relatively easy from one perspective to keep the physical aspects of the law. Go to church every week. The feast is certainly a very easy one to keep, right? We all love going to the feast. Save up 10% of your income and, be required to spend it over those 8 days. Sure, I'll keep the feast. Don't really like pork anyway, Sometimes it can be, we can find ourselves in this mode of it's easy to keep some of these physical aspects of the law. Elementary, perhaps. Verse 21, in responding here to what this young man still lacked, he said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here a choice is presented to us. A choice is presented. Not only if we're young or on the older side of things, choice is presented to us each and every day. We can choose just to keep the elementary basics of God's way of life, or we can step up to the plate and seek after perfection, which is what Christ is talking about here in verse 21. And we can really push things to the limit and really make the solid choices to really, truly follow God's way of life. My main question today is directed to the teens and to the young adults here. Everyone else can feel free to listen in and certainly hope that you can take some things away as well. My main question today, though, is what consequences will your choices have? What consequences will your choices have? God desires for you to stay focused on Him, ultimately to make choices that will align you with His way of life and His kingdom. Oh, soda can here today. The manufacturer of the soda can is not important. I'll try to just point the back side of it back out to everyone. But it's just a regular soda can. Choices bring consequences, though. Choices bring consequences. We as Americans and mankind in general, we rarely look at the potential consequences when we're confronted with some choice to make. We rarely think through that and say, okay, if I make this choice, then this is going to happen. Sometimes we just look at the choice and say, I like that choice better, and we jump for it. But rarely do we actually take the time to stop and slow down and look down the road and say, okay, if I do this, what's going to happen? You know, sometimes our choices will kind of dent our can. If our life is symbolic of cans, sometimes we can kind of dent our can with some of our choices. And our consequences then come along and kind of ding our can. It's okay, though, because sometimes we can just pop it back out. And all of a sudden now we have a nice, smooth soda can again. And things are back to normal, we think. Maybe the consequence wasn't too bad. And we were safe on that one. You know, we were able to pop it back out, no major harm done. Things are okay. I wasn't caught. But then other choices come along, and we get other dings. And we try to work on those, and we're able to pop those back out. Cheated on that test, teacher didn't catch me. That dent has popped out. All is good. Sex before marriage, bad relationships, being selfish, not caring for one another. Some dents are harder to pop out than others. And so sometimes we get a dent in our can and it stays there. Maybe it's really hard to work out. You each live in homes that teach and live God's way of life. And by God's own design, you're being called by God. God's calling and working with each of you. You're being called by God Himself. And you have the tools and the opportunity to grab hold of the blessings that God is offering to you. Those blessings are available for following His way of life. And He wants so badly to give them to us. Satan, however, is selling you and me a lie. He's selling us a lie. He says you can't have what you humanly want now and expect God's blessings. Adam and Eve bought into his lie. Lot's wife, whatever her name was, bought into the lie. And he wants you and me and our parents and our friends to also buy into the lie. But we should be thinking about not only the choices, but also the consequences of those choices. Go with me over to, let's go back just a few chapters here in Matthew to chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now let's read about one particular choice that God most especially wants you to be making. Matthew chapter 6. And in verse 33, down toward the end of the chapter, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." These things referencing up above about don't worry about what you're going to eat and where you're going to sleep and clothes and that sort of thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is the choice that God desires for you to make. He wants you to make this choice. As a youth, you must realize that there are consequences to your decisions. This particular choice has a very beautiful consequence. Jesus Christ here tells us all to seek first the kingdom of God, to choose a government, to choose a territory that's not recognized by any other human organization. The word seek here in verse 33, one of the definitions means to crave. to crave, to have this appetite or a great desire for something. I've already mentioned my sweet tooth issue. I really like desserts, and so I find myself craving things that are sweet. Desserts, brownies, ice cream, you name it, I'm all for it. Not so much on hard candies, but anything else, I'm all for it. God, speaking to me personally, God wants me to seek first His kingdom like I seek after things that are sweet. Brownies with ice cream and chocolate sauce and a cherry on top with whipped cream and, you know, nut sprinkles and all of that that just almost make me drool out of the side of my mouth. God wants me to put that kind of effort and that kind of craving into His kingdom. And He wants me to crave His kingdom so bad that that's what I focus on. And that's what I base all my decisions around. What are some things that you crave? What are some things that you crave, that you have a great desire for? Maybe you, like me, love chocolate. Maybe you have some sort of sweet tooth yourself. Do you remember maybe when your mom was pregnant with your siblings? Did she have any cravings when she was pregnant? I know my wife did. I loved when she was pregnant with our three boys. It was fantastic. The ice cream with one, the Mexican food with another, and all the fun stuff. Oh, I loved it. She had some amazing cravings, and I was right there cheering her on, and we were partners in that for sure. Some research says that you crave that which you like, that which you lack in your diet. I guess for me, I don't get enough sweets. That's probably not the case. But some research says that you crave whatever it is that you're lacking, or some nutrient that's in that food or that type of food that you're lacking. What about something more serious? Do you crave to marry a virgin? Do you desire that? Do you crave a good marriage? Do you have a great desire to one day have a beautiful family that's built around love and support and encouragement? Maybe you crave a better family than what you have now. Maybe your family is a little challenged right now. There are some issues going on, and you desire a future life with some other person, being able to build a family that improves on the situation than what you have right now. You can crave those kind of choices. But all of those cravings have decisions associated with them. They all have consequences associated with them. Remember again our soda can. Sometimes those decisions can result in bad decisions, and sometimes we can rebound for that. But all choice has consequences. Through your cravings and your choices, dents maybe are added to your can. And maybe your can ends up with multiple dents all at the same time. But if those cravings and choices are based on biblical principles, on God's way of life, then your can too can be dent-free. And it can be a beautiful looking can. But even if you do have dents in your can, thankfully we serve a loving and merciful God. And that as you grow and become baptized and commit to God's way of life, then baptism is available. And through that process, then repentance is made available. And you can repent then of those sins that have caused dents and damage to your can. Repentance can pop out some of the dents, but maybe the consequence is still there. And as I'm popping and then as I'm denting and popping this can, I'm starting to see creases in the can. And those creases can't ever be worked out. And so while maybe you're doing things and making choices that affect your can to the point that it's denting your can, God will forgive those one day when you are baptized and you pray about that and ask Him for that repentance. But the consequence may still be there. God never promises to remove the consequence of a sin. He promises to remove the penalty of the sin. But He never promises to remove the consequence of that sin. The sin itself is forgiven, but the dent the aftermath of that dent may still be there. You may get to the point where that dent never can come out. But God wants us to look forward. He wants us to make plans, to set goals, to be focused on His kingdom, to crave that kingdom. Turn with me, if you will, back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. Here's a wonderful verse for us to consider as we talk about choice and consequences. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Choice and consequence, right? We can perceive the evil. We can look down the road and say, okay, if I do this, then that consequence is going to be a result of this choice. And here Solomon records for us that that's exercising wisdom. Taking that time to stop and slow down and analyze this situation and realizing that there's a consequence that's going to come into it. Solomon says is good. A wise man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The ones with the blinders on, the ones that are just, you know, like the Energizer Bunny, just put me down, I'm going to go off in that direction. Those individuals, Solomon says, those consequences that sort of come from their decisions, their choices, it sort of impact them in a very large way. Every choice, though, has a consequence. Our job is to determine if that consequence is good for us or if it's bad for us. Sometimes we choose based on emotion. Sometimes our consequences are kind of this knee-jerk reaction. Something's presented and it's almost instinctual and we just do it. Kind of this knee-jerk reaction. It's difficult though because we can't ever go back and have that decision again. We can make a choice and then look back and say, ugh, that was the wrong choice. I should not have done that. But whatever consequence there is, that's there. We could have the opportunity to come back and face a similar situation. And maybe if that occurs, maybe we'll be wiser and be able to appropriately choose. But we can't ever go back to that choice and relive that. Our can then becomes dented by bad decisions, by bad choices. Let's go forward to the book of Luke. If you go with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, the very last verse here in this particular chapter. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Jesus Christ says, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." We might crave the kingdom, and we might read all the many scriptures and prophecies and all the verses that talk about God's kingdom. We might say, yep, that's what I want. And we could crave it. But our actions also have to be built into those choices as well. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We could have our hands on the plow and saying, yes, my choices are aligning with the kingdom. That's the direction I want to go. But if we're constantly looking back, then it shows this inconsistency. The word looking here means to take heed. Means to take heed. So Jesus Christ here is saying, no one having put his hand to the plow and taking heed or looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What is it that you take heed to? If you were to look back, what would you look back at? Would you look back to the music that maybe you've been convinced that you should delete off your iPod? Are you looking back to, you know, friends in school or some other situation? What is causing you to not only second guess why you would want to be in God's kingdom, but why you would want to live this way of life? What are you looking back at? A Lot's wife looked back. She longed for Sodom and Gomorrah and the society and probably the friends and everything that city was about. She yearned for it. She was sad for what was happening to it. And she looked back. What do you regard? The theme from this last year's teen camp program season was Remember Your Creator, taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Let's go back over there. Ecclesiastes is the book right after the book of Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Hopefully, all the parents and families and teens, you guys are getting the teen and family Bible study guides that the camp teams are sending out. I think this last month, this current month here in February, we're on number 3. We've sent out the 3rd Bible study guides. So hopefully you're getting those and you're finding those helpful. Here, though, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. I have no pleasure in these days. The days will be hard, and they'll be long, and they'll be difficult, and they'll be filled with challenges. And every day will present something new. It's those days, though, when a relationship with God provides hope, provides peace, provides comfort and encouragement. Those days can become difficult and challenging. But the relationship that you have with your God can begin today. It can begin now. And it should begin now. Have that relationship with your God now, while you're young. While you can, you know, experience life. And when you do make choices that cause a dent to your can, hopefully those can be fairly easily popped out and popped back in place. But begin to have that relationship with your God now. There was a commercial that I liked on TV some time ago. I don't think it's still airing. It was an insurance commercial. And the tagline was, Life comes at you fast. Maybe you remember those commercials. One of my favorites that I saw was this toddler swinging in the swing. And, you know, the camera's on the toddler and they're talking about family and that sort of thing. And the camera quickly pans over to the parent. I think it was the dad. And then pans back as it says, you know, life comes at you fast. And here's this full-grown adult coming forward on the swing and knocks his dad over. Life comes at you fast was their slogan. The choices that you make now will have consequences in the future. And life does come at us fast. And even if you're 12 or 14 or graduating from high school or off to college, life comes fast. And the choices you make now will have consequences. Make sure that those consequences are good consequences, that they're beneficial to your life, that they help you grow spiritually and be more solid in your relationship with God. Go with me, if you will, all the way back to the very last book of the Bible. Let's turn to Revelation, and then the last chapter, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Here we have a choice that's been made, and one verse talks about the choice with a good consequence. The next verse is another choice with a very different consequence. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Okay, so there's the choice. I choose to follow God, right? I choose to put his way first, to crave that kingdom, to seek after that. Blessed are those who do his commandments. And then here's the consequence. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Choice and the resulting good consequence. You're following God, you're craving that way of life, you're studying, you're praying, you're developing that relationship with your Creator. You're doing the things that are pleasing to Him, that help support relationships and help strengthen friendships, that help put you in a position to have a beautiful marriage and great kids and a wonderful family. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Verse 15, though, is it's the other side of the coin. You could say those who choose not to keep God's commandments, those who disobey God, those who reject his way of life, then the associated consequence, though, is then in verse 15. They're called dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Those are the individuals that won't be in God's kingdom. Those are the individuals that are choosing to live a different way of life. A way of life that's not going to bring the happy marriage, the wonderful, beautiful family. Verse 14 talks about the future, the godly choice with the godly consequences. Verse 15 is the satisfy me and now type mentality. That's what Satan is selling right now. Do whatever you can to help make you happy right now. Satisfy me now. These are the bad choices. The consequence that brings all the things that I know none of us want. So which verse will you do? When you make choices throughout your next many years, which verse will you be applied to? Will you ask questions and learn about God? Will you learn from God? Will you test God? One of my favorite verses is back in Malachi chapter 3, where God encourages us to test him. Try me now in this, he says. And that particular verse is in relation to tithing. You know, test me. Go ahead and try and see if I won't just shower you with blessings. Are you willing to test God? Are you willing to obey him and see what blessings he gives to you? Or will you find yourself compromising God's laws and say, yeah, I understand that, but this thing over here is going on and I so badly want to go. Will you justify your actions? Studies say and research shows that to a certain degree you already know. You already know which way you want to go. Many of you teens and young adults here were probably born in the church or have been in the church most of your lives. By high school graduation time, you will have attended over 1,300 worship services, counting all the feast days and each weekly Sabbath. At that time, you will have perhaps been to several preteen camps and teen camps. You will have attended numerous Bible studies, both teen-oriented Bible studies and other types of Bible studies. You have had countless conversations, hopefully, with your parents, perhaps even daily, about God's way of life and what his laws are and why they're important and how to apply them to you. Those conversations, hopefully, will include who God is and why God created you and what part you have in God's plan. What plans do you have for all those interactions? For all those services and Bible studies and conversations and questions and answers and what intentions do you have for those? What choices will you make based on all of those conversations? Here's your take-home question. Here's a take-home question for you. What choices are you making that is wrinkling your can? What choices are you making that's leaving these gigantic creases in your can? What choices are you faced with? Maybe you haven't made that decision yet, but maybe when you get home or in the coming months, you're faced with this big choice, whether it's college or a conversation that's waiting to be had with a boyfriend or girlfriend back home. Maybe those choices haven't been made yet. Maybe you're still weighing them. But what are they? What choices are you making or have you made that's wrinkling or crushing your can? God wants each of you in his kingdom. He wants you in his kingdom. You can't hope for it, but make choices that go in a different direction. You can't say, this is what I want, but I'm going to do these deans over here because this is a lot more fun. Patience and faith and dedication leads to a reward that God promises to give to us all. As I begin to wrap this message up, remember the idea, though, of this can, your personal can. What choices are you making that's causing damaging dents to your can? Will you go for what feels good now? What eases your burden now that helps your life be a little bit more happy now? The way that seems simple and right now? Too many of those kind of choices can literally crush your can. And it can be quite damaged and even a little deformed. Through repentance, though, thankfully, God forgives those sins. But just remember that it's next to impossible to uncrush your can. Think about the choices, though, that you're making. And make sure that your can still be intact. Let's finally go over to the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is a favorite section of scripture for me. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I think in many ways it's also a very encouraging section of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. Moses here records for us, he says, "For this commandment which I command for you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off." This isn't some strange book that we have in our laps. Okay, this is not just something that some guys from a long time ago decided to record some stuff and, you know, it says Holy Bible on the front, but yeah, it's just another book and, you know, we as humans are never meant to understand it. It's being recorded for us here that it's not too mysterious for you. You can understand it. You can have a relationship with your God, with our God. Verse 12, "It's not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?'" It's not too mysterious, remember? It's not something that you have to send some dignitary or some emissary over, way over there, way up there and say, "Hey, go fetch that for us." God's calling you now, today, in this life. Verse 13, "Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?'" It's a personal relationship. God's calling each of you now, and he's working with each of you now, and he wants you to respond and to crave his way of life, and then to make the choices that lead to the consequences that will produce all the beautiful things. Verse 14, "But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it." You know about the Sabbath. You know about God's laws and treating each other with respect and love and the caring for them and supporting and encouraging. The word is very near you. Verse 15, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." Two choices for us to make. With all the many thousands of choices that we make throughout the day, big ones and little ones and medium-sized ones, wrapped into all of those are life and good and death and evil. We have before us these two choices, life and death, good and evil. Build the good relationships, tear them down. Be supportive, you know, pick on and bully. We generally know what needs to happen in order to receive either one, don't we? Verse 19, "I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God and that you may obey his voice and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days." I think it's interesting here in verse 19 that this choice not only includes us, not only affects us, but also our future generations, our kids that we'll have, that you'll have. we're not having any more kids, but that you will have. It's going to affect future generations. This verse, though, these verses apply to all of us. For the grandparents in the room, be patient and fully rely on God all the way to the day you die. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 speaks to that. Stay the course. Stay strong. To the young families, teach God actively to our kids throughout the day. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7 talks about that. That's our marching orders. That's what we're to be doing. And to our youth, ask questions. Test God. He wants you to do that. Again, Malachi 3:10 that I referenced earlier. God wants you to test Him. But He wants you to test Him through obedience. Not through denting your can and making it look all maligned. He wants you to test Him through obedience and see what blessings He won't just pour out. And what doors so open that you'll look back 7, 10 years and say, oh, wow, I remember that. And that door opened and, you know, you might think, oh, I was oblivious at the time, but that's the direction I went. And you'll look back later and say, God was in that decision. God was there. And God opened that door. He blessed me in that regard. Prove that His way works. And then commit to being one of His saints, one of His future members of His family. Each day ask God to lead you into His kingdom because He wants you to be spiritually successful. Make solid and good choices about caring and loving others. Be diligent in eating a healthy spiritual diet. But most of all, don't buy into Satan's lies. Don't buy into his lie that you can take all you can for yourself and let others fend for themselves and don't worry about the consequences. It's a setup for failure. It's a setup for sadness and frustration and unhappiness. And over time, it will literally crush your can. Rather, make a commitment to set your goal in the kingdom. And then pray and ask God to help you get there. Pray and ask Him to help you in your choices, in your decisions that you make. Satan is selling you different ways that you can crush your can. All kinds of options in order to crush your can. He wraps it in such a way that it seems fun and acceptable and the right thing to do. But God is real, and God wants you to be baptized one day. He wants you to fully commit to Him, to His way of life. He wants to give us eternal life. To the youth here today, and to the teens, young adults, the parents, and the friends too, let's be careful with our choices. Let's be careful with our choices, and let's be aware of the consequences that those choices bring. Let's all protect our can.